I'm gonna do a quick impression of my of the poodle mix. Like it's bad. It's bad, Jordan.
You're gonna get him going doing that impression.
I know.
Or her.
No, that's why I'm outside. So
yeah, I thought you were just seeking solace for a little bit, getting away from everyone.
No, my parents are at the school now. It's Grand's Day, so that's why.
Oh, Grand's Day. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So any making funnery of Harry before we as his tradition? Guess not right now, huh?
No, he's being a good dad right now. It's tough to knock him. So
that's true. For those of you who caught the last pod where I suggested that Harry might have been faking, I feel extra terrible because YY's poor broken clavicle is actually pretty bad. So thoughts and prayers for him. I'm sure he'll be good soon, but poor baby. Yeah.
He's got Harry taking care of him, so he'll be he'll be just fine.
Just fine. And on that note, let's let in the cavalry. Today, I'd like to welcome to Beer Net Radio, the chief at Surfside, the Philly-based breakout iced tea and vodka RTD brand. We have CEO Clement Pappas. And last year, Surfside sold about 1.3 million cases across about 17 states with trends up triple digits, almost 600%. Also, the highest velocity spirits-based RTD per retail outlet in 23. And you guys have some big news that you're sharing with us. You're going from about 17 states to 42, and you have 5 new flavors, including raspberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, black cherry lemonade, raspberry lemonade, and green tea, which is super interesting. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Great to be back.
Awesome. No, thanks for being here. I love that little plane in the background. I see it's pulling. Yes, it's pulling a banner.
So we have a great graphic design department, but somebody pointed out to me that that was not like the right type of plane. It's actually like a private jet that would probably
rip that thing to shreds.
Spread that banner inside of 30 seconds.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're owning it. All right, cool. Yeah. Cool.
When we get the private jet, then we'll pull the Surfside banner. We'll see how well it does.
It also seems like it would be a very expensive version of. Yeah. Yeah, we got money to burn. That's advertising. Look at us. But so you guys are about to be a lot more visible, right? You're going through this near national expansion. So why now, right? And all at once. And of course, I have to ask if it has anything to do with a certain large competitor entering your space.
Yeah. So, I mean, not specifically. I mean, we heard about the Boston Beer thing a few months back before it came out. Obviously, I think they, you know, made a public announcement. But I think once we saw the you know, feedback from the marketplace, it was like, okay, we really have an opportunity here. And, you know, I don't know, my grandmother used to say opportunity is not a lengthy visitor. You know, we really felt like we've got to take, you know, we've got a real opportunity here to sort of own this little subsegment of the category, and, you know, let's go out and get it. And so, you know, while it wasn't directly in response to that particular launch, we were also not surprised. And, you know, there's a lot of teas launching out there, but
yeah,
you know, we're hearing of other major names that are, you know, doing a 12 ounce non-carbonated vodka in a slim can that's 100 calories, that, you know, kind of lines up with what we're doing. So it's not the first, and it won't be the last. And, you know, we're just going to keep sticking to what we're doing. We think we got a great product, great brand, and, you know, we're trying to stay ahead. We do think that first to market matters in this business. And, you know, we want to be first to market. So absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. And then in terms of new partners, I mean, are there any noteworthy, any like that you're going with in several states? I mean, I think Reyes is a pretty big partner with you. Anybody else you can highlight? Or
yeah, Reyes is huge for us. They've been a great partner. We're obviously early stages in a lot of their markets, but it's been great. A lot of early chain wins, and really excited to see how the season plays out. But we're just about global with them. There's only maybe a few houses that aren't aligned. And then I guess the next biggest one would be Glazers. We're okay. Aligning Glazers in all of Glazers houses, Crescent Crown, Manhattan Beer is kind of a fuzzy one, but the Hobo Network, we're in most of those. Funny, their home market, our is, you know, the home market, of Ariglio, our home market in Philadelphia, and we, you know, by law, we can't be with them. So we're through the state and self-distribution. But yeah, I mean, we're enjoying an excellent start with the Bud Network in Ohio. We are getting ready to launch with Columbia in Washington, and pretty much the Molson Coors Network in Texas as well. So nice. Andrews, Houston, Faust, Reyes, Fisher 59, Keg One. Yeah. So, yeah, yep. some great partners.
Yeah, I mean, that's an all-star lineup, right? Like, that's all the distributors. So that's good. That's good. You know, and I'm curious, too, you talked about obviously being first to market and a lot of big players getting in the space. But I know that you guys kind of hang your hat on baseball, right? Like, you were the top-selling spirits brand in Citizens Bank Park, right? And now you have this.
We actually outsold on any – we did not in combination, but we outsold any other single bev-alc SKU in the stadium.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
I mean, they do carry Miller, and you know, they carry a lot of different brands there. And but yeah, I mean, we sold almost 20,000 cases last year in Citizens Bank, so pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. But you're blowing that up too, right? Now you're the official vodka can cocktail partner of Minor League Baseball. Yep. And you have some other MLB partnerships. Is that a big part of your marketing to market process or differentiation?
Absolutely. That's one of our big swings where we've allocated a lot of budget. And what we found is that it just works really, really, really well with that occasion. Right. And it's baseball, it's summer, you're outside. I mean, it's just so refreshing. And, you know, it almost becomes, I mean, I don't want to overly presumptive, but I mean, I kind of feel like, hey, we can make this like you go to the game and you get a Cracker Jack and get peanuts and take me out to the ball game. It's like, you know, we want take me out to the ball game and buy me a Surfside and Cracker Jacks, right?
Right.
It really kind of goes with the experience. And we know, at least locally, where we've been very successful. I mean, people really make that mental connection. It's like, oh, went to this game. It was really a lot of fun. I drank this great product. It was so refreshing. It was so easy to drink. So... Yeah, that's what we're seeing. Like you said, there's a lot of games. Liquid to Lips is big for us. So, you know, as compared to some of the other sports, having that longer season, the summertime, the weather is obviously ideal. And, you know, it's been a market-to-market thing. But as you mentioned, now we're five major league teams and pretty much the whole minor league network, will at least the one that's not independence, that's run by Major League Baseball called Minor League, MILB. So we're going to be in about 90 stadiums throughout the country this year.
Awesome. And so I guess, I mean, because obviously baseball isn't all year round, but the seasons are pretty long. Is that why you timed that to now to kind of coincide?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The expansion.
Yeah. You know, and for our kind of brand and, you know, really for the whole beer business, I mean, right, like spring is the right time to launch. The shelves reset, the weather turns, you know, it's hard to launch a brand in, you know, in the winter,
January.
Yes. So absolutely. Yeah. So the timing of their season works out very well relative to, you know, hockey or baseball or basketball or something like that.
Well, while we're talking about venues, I think we talked about at the summit, you know, kind of a push into single serve, and you're saying, you know, that package is particularly expensive for spirits based RTDs. Any progress on that, or, you know, where do y'all stand with single serves now?
Yeah, we will be pushing into that imminently. We've had some unfortunate supply chain delays, and you know, it's just so limited. I mean, that's something I really hope that the industry can pull together and get the rule change. But I mean, there's only one supplier. That supplier is, you know, gone through several different ownership structures and things, and now, you know, there's really only a handful of production facilities in the country that run it. So it's just really, really, really difficult when you can only buy the lid from one place and you can only run it in one plant. At least, I mean, you know, maybe Budweiser can run it in several of their plants, but as far as what's available to us, there's like one plant that we can run it in. And, you know, it's in California. So then we have to ship stuff back east. And we're working on getting a plant in Pennsylvania up and going and being able to run this lid. But we think it's a big opportunity, particularly in markets where spirits-based RTDs are allowed into the convenience channel. We think that's a huge opportunity. And then venues being, you know, the other obvious place. Yeah. The other thing I'd say, if I had my druthers, we're also stuck with the 700 ml can because of federal regulation, and it's a little on the big side, right? I mean, I just, you know, you worry how warm does this thing get by the time somebody's done drinking it, and you know, our product is best drunk cold, so
yeah,
you know, ideally I'd have a 19 ounce or something like that, or 16 ounce, but simply not possible with the regs.
Yeah, and to be clear, with the lid, does it have to be like a resealable cap for spirits based RTDs? That's the rule.
Yeah, and so what it is with spirits as opposed to beer, they just give you a list of what you're allowed to do. So it's like, hey, if it's not on this list, you can't do it. So what's actually on the list is like three can sizes, with 12 ounce being the largest. But then there's all these bottle sizes, and it's like 50 ml, 100 ml, 200 ml. Then it goes like 375, and then the next one up 700. So if you look at any of these products that are out with a 24 ounce can, they're actually all labeled 700 ml.
Right.
And what they're doing is, by having that resealable lid on it, they're petitioning the TTB that this is actually a resealable 700 ml bottle. It's just, you know, happens to be made out of aluminum.
Yeah.
And the TTB is accepting that. So that's kind of the workaround. And that's why there's nothing between 375, which is, I don't know, maybe, 13, 14 ounces, something like that. There's nothing between that and 700 ml that's even on the list.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's talk about the new lemonade launch too.
Yep.
Is the new lemonade, are the new lemonade flavors going to all the new 42 states as well?
Not necessarily right now. We did make the kind of the initial decision to put those in our core markets in the Mid-Atlantic, where we're, you know, a couple years in and ready for some more innovation. And we're a little bit more sticking to the core lineup in the newer markets, especially chains, where, you know, the timeline to get items authorized is so far in the future. But no, it's just starting to roll out now, and the feedback's been unbelievable. So we're excited to see how it goes. We had liquor store partner, if you're familiar with the Jersey Shore, one that's right outside of Wildwood. If I can shout him out, Joe Canals, Rio Grande. One of the larger independents in the state. And they posted like, hey, we tried these lemonades, sneak peek, you know, gave them a favorable review. And the thing absolutely went viral, got like over 1,000 shares. This is one liquor store, right? This is not a huge account, right? Got like, you know, over 1,000 shares, over 1,000 comments. And I was looking like, is this normal for them? And I looked at some of their previous posts, and they're getting like, you know, 28 shares, you know, 32 likes. So yeah. I think we're excited to see where it could go. It seems like there's a ton of positive feedback, both on the flavors and the concept. And we think it'll be pretty incremental to the category that we're trying to build here.
Yeah. Was a lemonade extension kind of something you always left the door open? Because I know, like, even in the tea variety pack, there was a, you know, just a Surfside lemonade flavor with no tea in it. So is that something y'all had always kind of thought, well, you know, maybe we can add this on?
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand, tea and lemonade. We're careful not to over expose the brand. I don't want it to mean too much to the point that it means nothing. So I don't think we'd ever go beyond teas and lemonades. But you know, we certainly felt like lemonade was an option, obviously dipping our toe in the water with that lemonade in our variety pack last year was kind of the first foray into that area. And, you know, we got a lot of positive feedback on it, and we think there's some slightly different use occasions. It's obviously a different flavor profile that maybe is going to appeal more to some than others, just as a matter of taste. But there's also the element that tea has naturally occurring caffeine. And so, you know, we have gotten feedback that, you know, I really love the tea, but, you know, if I go out to a bar after dinner or something, you know, there's only so many of these I can drink because I'm worried it's going to disrupt my sleep. Mm. So this gives a variety pack of really good options, we think, you know, to keep it interesting and mix it up with the different lemonade flavors. So they've been, you know, we work hard on our flavors. These have been in the works for over a year. And we, tweaked and tweaked and tweaked. I don't think we finalized the last one until, you know, late January, because we weren't happy with it. We just kept, you know, going and going and going.
Yeah. One more, and then I'll kick it back over to you, Jen. You know, obviously there's been a lot of malt-based lemonades. I don't know of many spirits-based lemonades. So is next summer the summer of spirits-based lemonades, like spirits-based hard tea right. this year?
Spirits-based green teas?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, time will tell. You know, I mean, if you just look at the malt base as a guide, I mean, it seems like, you know, Twisted has obviously dominated in with regards to the malt based tea, and Mike's has dominated with regards to the malt based lemonade, and you know, they've both done well over a long period of time, but it seems like the Twisted is quite a bit bigger than the Mike's when you look at the overall. So, you know, will the spirit side follow that? You know, it's a little, you know, we're kind of entering unknown territory. It's a little right. bit TBD. My personal feeling is they should be about equal.
Yeah.
That's but interesting. That's just, you know, that's not, there's no database, right. You know, analysis going yeah. on there. That's just kind of my gut feel. Yeah.
Well, speaking of data, I mean, what sort of like research do you guys do, R&D, when you're coming up with new flavors?
You know, we're pretty not corporate. We're not doing big, you know, focus groups and things like that. We have mostly done what we think would be good and what's missing out there. What would we like to drink that's not available? And the same way, we kind of felt like, hey, none of the tea offerings that were out there really totally appealed to us. Kind of feel the same way about the lemonade. And so, you know, and same with green tea. I mean, really, there hasn't been a lot of green tea out there, and there are a lot of green tea drinkers out there. So we think that one is pretty interesting as well. And, you know, potentially, you know, really incremental to the category. And, you know, we're also trying not to be too cannibalizing. We want to have an efficient portfolio. We don't want to overdo it with the SKUs and just kind of make life more complex for everybody and not really sell more. So I think there's a balance there of how do we do stuff that's, you know, incremental and interesting right. and bringing something new to the market, and not just, you know, junk it up the place. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we really internally, we have a really tight group of people that taste it and tweak and tweak and tweak. And I mean, I could admit this to you guys, but one of my favorite tests is like when we get it to like the final stage, I want them to give me like 10 of them. And then I'd take them home and I'd see, like, if I drink five or six of them, right? Like, do I want to drink that seventh or eighth one? Or is it like, nah, like, this is, you know, lingering in my mouth, or it's overwhelming, or, you know, it's gross after so many of them. So we try to really make sure that they are, you know, sessionable and that they do hold up. Because a lot of times you take the first sip of something and then that's all the tasting you do. And it's like, well, that first sip tasted good. But what happens after I drink three of them at the game or on the boat or, you know, at the tailgate or whatever it is, right? Yeah, do they still taste good? And so, you know, that's an important part of what we work on.
That's pretty funny, because here at the Kirk House, what happens, I don't know that I do this, but my husband tells me that I do this. I'll open up something new and I'll taste it. And my first, you know, best case scenario is like, oh, that's good. And then he starts chuckling because he knows that my second or third sip is going to be like, yeah, it's okay. And then like 2 minutes later, it's in the sink. Like, and then by the end of the night, there's like five drain poured cans of shit that I had tried for the first time. That was great. And then it wasn't like 5 minutes later. So yeah.
Totally. And we've actually shelved, like we had one that was ready to launch that we were like ready to, you know, lock and load. And we were at actually a company party and I was drinking the lab samples. And I was like, I just wanted to put it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had drank one of them and I was like, I just want to put this down. I'm like, we can't put this out. I can't put something out that I just want to put down and don't want to drink, you know?
Yeah. It's got to make the Clem cut, right? The that's, final that's boss. Awesome.
It's like a video game. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh God. I can't tell if that's our dog or the other dog, but anyway, y'all please ignore that. anyway, I want to go back to the expansion also, because my God, how do you manage the complexity of launching that many new markets at once? Are you going to stagger it? Like, how are you doing that?
Well, I work a lot. I've gained about 30 pounds, and I
We're
don't see
looking
my
at it,
family as much as I used to. No, the short answer is it's a lot. We've added a lot of people, obviously, just to build that out. And our strategy is we put people in every market. We've grown very rapidly, in that regard. So we're up to about 130 full-time employees, which I think we were below 100 when the year started. So we're adding very, very quickly. And we send people to every market. We do blitzes. We attend the GSMs. We try to really, get ourselves, in a good spot with the distributor and the relationship. Obviously, different markets are different, especially in our category. There's chain markets, there's, Class B markets. There's all kinds of different complexities to every market. But, at the end of the day, it takes us getting the right people. Getting the right people in the market, working with the right distributors, that's key, as you mentioned earlier, having the right distributor partners and having the right fit within their portfolio. And we've been very blessed. We've been very fortunate that I think, it's we try hard to make it a fun place to work, and we've been able to really recruit some awesome talent. And I think on the distributor side, we've been fortunate in that this category is so dynamic. But let's face it, the market leader is Gallo, which is a wine and spirits company, and they're almost totally within wine and spirits houses. Not totally, but for the most part. And so when we go to beer distributors, they're still looking for what is going to be their workhorse in this RTD spirits category. And so it's a real unique opportunity for an up and coming emerging company like ours to be able to get in, day one with, a Reyes or an Andrews or, one of these major bud distributors, that, otherwise might be harder to get a look at.
But you guys also invest in DTC, right?
Somewhat, it's pretty big for us in Pennsylvania, where we have privileges. Outside of that, there is like a shipping service that will do it. But it's pretty small.
And that's more for the marketing or, just to kind of see for somebody who wants to try it and hasn't seen it in their at their retail type thing
Exactly.
or.
I think half the orders are like people that, are maybe from one of our core markets, and then it's like, hey, I'm, going on vacation, and I want Surfside with me, but I can't bring it on the airplane. I mean, it's so most of it's not big, but as we do get more and more dense distribution, well, I guess I can't say Drizly anymore, but those types of, those types of Instacarts and, Uber Eats and whatever else, that's going to be more and more the go-to option for us.
That last mile. I guess my only other question is, where do you guys see yourselves shaping up in 24, 25? You mentioned Gallo's the market leader, but I'm sure the goal is to get closer and closer to them, right? Where are you projecting?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I wish I had the answer to that, between one. But no, I mean, on just Surfside, if we're just talking about Surfside, we're projecting over 4 million cases this year. There's you could drive a tractor trailer through the amount of variance in that projection, and then we have our Stateside Vodka Soda, which we think will be over 1 million cases, or darn close to it this year. But that's kind of where we're seeing things land, and we have an awful lot of runway. I mean, most of these chain states, we still have just scratched the surface in terms of our ACV and stuff. I mean, with these spring resets, we're I don't know. I'm looking at the we're like a one share now. I'm looking at the latest data. But interestingly, we do have the highest efficiency in terms of dollars per million ACV. So we see a lot of opportunity and a lot of runway to continue to grow. And I do think when you look at least from a depletion standpoint, not necessarily just looking at the track Nielsen data, but you kind of have like High Noon way up here, like over 20 million cases. And then like the next biggest guys are like 2, 3, 4 million cases. So there's that huge gap there in between the leader and the next guy. And we certainly think that this year we should be, closer to number two, and going forward, we should be Definitely number two. And then over time, it'll be, you know, can we, you know, do we have it, you know, to really challenge for, you know, that number one spot? That's our goal anyway. Audacious, but that's what we're going for.
Well, I wonder, you know, if you can figure out how to make the seasonality work for you, I think you would get there, right? Like, if you can figure out how to sell outside of the spring and summer, as much as the spring and summer, people would want to talk to you, I'm sure, because they'd want to know the same thing, right?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, that's a longer term challenge for sure.
Yeah. Jay, anything?
Yeah, I have just one more. Y'all have been pretty successful in the on-premise and, you know, in this expansion, is that, you know, something that you're kind of driving home to distributors? Because I feel like with a lot of, you know, RTDs just in general, on-premises has been a challenge. And, you know, how do you think you can replicate some of that on-premise success in these newer markets?
I do. And it is a focus point for us. And it is really important. And, you know, a lot of these markets are set up differently. We have, you know, like Texas is a Class B state for our product, which, you know, is manageable, but it is another layer and, you know, another level of complexity, and it's harder to track. So we are bumping up into some challenges as we get into different markets. But I do still think that the premise is the same, which is, you know, people try in the on-premise and they buy in the off. And, you know, our product, I think this category gets lumped in like RTDs, right? And I think there was this idea during COVID that it was like, well, people can't go out to the bar and get a, you know, a cocktail quality, you know, bar quality cocktail mixed by their favorite bartender. I would say our product is not really that. Our product is not a cocktail type of product. It's, you know, it's a beer strength product that happens to be made with vodka, but it's just really a really good iced tea or a really good lemonade, you know, with that happens to be made with vodka. So I don't view it as that, as, you know, kind of that cocktail quality Manhattan or mojito or something. It's really different. And, you know, I think there's no reason why people won't drink it in the on-premise. And one of the examples I like to use, one of our top 10 accounts in Pennsylvania is a, you know, policeman's lodge, an FOP. So, you know, people think, well, you must do really well in beach bars. And, you know, of course the Philly Stadium's, you know, the number one account and everything like that. But, you know, this product's really drinkable and it's really versatile, and people will drink it at the corner bar or the FOP just as quickly as, you know, they might want to drink it at the Phillies game. So I think it's got a lot of use cases, and, you know, we continue to be surprised by some of the accounts that can really do well with it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, that's all I got, Clem.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. And if you guys ever get on It's Always Sunny in Philly, since it, since it fits, make sure we get to watch.
Yeah.
That would be fun. That's for next time that we chat. That's the big announcement, right?
Love it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you and cheers. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks. You too. You too.